Lifestyle Matters. It's more than money. I'm Faisal Carmelli. My co-host filling in for Dave Popovich is Andrew Masson. Andrew.
Hi, Faisal.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. It's nice to have a better looking partner today.
It's a nice change of effect. I had a hiatus for a bit, but I'm back.
You're
at least
back.
For now.
I love it. Dave is in, he's doing his staycation in Alberta. He's trying out Jasper.
Cool.
Last show we had Alberta Tourism on board. Mm-hmm. And they were talking to us about the different things. And so I got so excited. He left. He went to Jasper. I got excited. And after the show, I'm taking off to Jasper. And
gonna very nice.
Go try it out and see how it is. It's been a while since I've been to Jasper, probably over 20 years.
Well, and there's opportunities across Alberta right now. In particular, Banff is a great place, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Hearing, different hotels anywhere from, up to 35% off. Hey, it's an opportunity for Albertans to get out, support the local economy, and hey, have a good time.
Yeah, the deal that I got in Jasper was buy one night, get the second night free for being Albertan. So that was
nice.
You know me and coupons, I love them. So
I'm a Groupon guy too.
Speaking of taking money, mm-hmm. Discounts. The NDP came out, a federal NDP government came out or group came out and said, especially the finance critic, Peter Julian, came out and said, you know what? We're going to look and further investigate this wealth tax. This is the wealth tax. And for those of you who don't know, listening to this show, we've talked about in the past, and it's coming back up in the news. It is the budget office, the parliamentary budget office, estimates revenue from a 1% tax on families' net worth over $20 million will be about $5.6 billion in annual revenue. For a better understanding, there's only 14,000 families in this country that have over $20 million in net worth.
Yeah. But, what is a wealth tax and what's the real benefit of a wealth tax, Faisal? Because there's pluses and minuses, right? We can, we can play the Robin Hood card by being polite and saying we're going to take from the rich and give to the poor, because really in essence they're going to transfer one to the other.
Yep.
But what happens to that capital? And that's what I always ask is, you've got the 14,000 richest families in Canada that can pay this wealth tax, but what happens if they get forced into a wealth tax situation? Capital has ways to find to grow wings and fly.
And that was Elizabeth Warren's point in the U.S. when she was running for a candidate for presidency. She came out with the concept of a wealth tax in the United States. And she said, we can do this. The problem is that these rich individuals are going to hire lawyers, accountants, other professionals to move their money around to make it out that they don't have this type of wealth. And according to the Parliamentary Budget Office, they came out and said this policy would cost $113 million for $5.6 billion worth of revenue. So what I find interesting about this situation is that, first of all, they picked a number, $20 million. Why mm-hmm. did they pick that number? My guess, and this is only my guess, I do not know this for a fact, so I just want to put out my opinion on this, is that they looked at the least amount of families with the highest amount of wealth, let's go after them.
Or what's that top 1%
number? Or what's that?
Or what's 0.5, or whatever.
Whatever that number is, yeah. So here's where I have a problem with the overall concept of a wealth tax. You have to pick a number. Does the number start getting lower and lower? Does it go to 10 million, mm-hmm. 5 million? How about 1 million? How about everybody who owns a home in Toronto and Vancouver, because they're over $1 million on average, they pay a wealth tax. It's only 1%.
Yeah.
So why not just tax everybody that has $1 million? At what point does it go down? That's one question. The other question is, what are you trying to do or incent?
Well, and I think the incentive question is really interesting, Faisal, because my concern is when you incent taxes or you incent some sort of structure to try and get some type of revenue, what are those people going to do? I suggested just moments ago that capital could grow wings and fly away. Perhaps those people might actually determine that they don't want to live in Canada. Perhaps those people determined that maybe they're not going to employ as many people as they do, or they may change their habits in order to move their capital appropriately. So the benefit of the wealthy is that they do employ a lot of people, because generally speaking, they have some type of business or business enterprise that's going to drive things.
Yeah, and that comes down to now, what kind of culture do we want to have in this country? And I'm not saying taxing the ultra high net worth individuals in this country, the top 14,000 or 1% tax for them is wrong. I'm not going to say it's wrong. I just don't understand the incentive. At some point, small entrepreneur wants to grow their business and become successful. And because they have become successful, they're getting penalized with an extra tax. And I know it's only 1%. And we can say that for everybody. Everybody can have a 1% increase in tax. It's only 1%. And that would cover up. And we were kind of laughing before the show, and we were looking at the $343 billion.
Yeah.
Deficit?
342.5. Let's call it 343 for simple numbers.
Yeah. So we've got that deficit that the federal government just announced.
Mm-hmm.
You did some quick math.
Based on a 35 million population in Canada.
Yeah.
That says that, you know, and I'm rounding up.
Yeah.
But it's about $10,000 per person on just this year's deficit.
So because this is a national deficit, let's take it to the debt viewpoint and say it's $1 trillion of debt.
Well, 1.2.
Okay, let's use an easy 1 trillion.
Yep.
Okay? And the same 35 million people, roughly, rough numbers here, $30,000 per Canadian citizen living in this country has a bill to pay. Could you imagine, Andrew, if the federal government gave an invoice to every Canadian, say you owe $30,000 to Canada, and you have maximum 10 years to pay it, let's figure out a payment plan. Do you know how quickly everybody would be fiscally responsible and actually criticize the government for all that they're spending their money on?
Well, it would change the entire way governments act and operate on a fiscally responsible basis, because things would be looked at a way different way than it is currently.
And I look at it this way. We only have a couple minutes before we have to go mm-hmm. to break. But, you know, you, myself, Dave Popowich, and a bunch of our friends get together. We go out for dinner. Let's say there's 10 of us, and we all go out for dinner.
Yep.
And the bill comes out to $1,000. Okay? How do we normally pay that bill? We kind of say there's 10 of us, $1,000. Everybody put $100 plus tip, call it a day.
That's right.
We don't go down and say, you ate more than I did, you drank more than I did. We just say, let's divvy it up amongst all of us. We had a good time.
Yep.
Let's split up equally. I have yet to be at a party where someone says, Faisal, you make more money than I do, so you should pay more of this bill than I should. But we all had the same enjoyment out of it. Why does it change at the dinner table, but doesn't change in our entire tax-based system for this country? And I'm saying this because the more you start saying, let's just tax the 1%, then it's not a person that's not part of that 1%. You and me are not involved in that 1%. We're not the top 14,000 richest people in this world, in this country, sorry. Mm-hmm. So we don't care. Let them pay it. Is that the right culture we want to have in this country?
I don't.
That's what I'm really worried about. At the end of the day, $5.6 billion, they're going to find it somewhere. Well, they're going to tax it somewhere.
And like I said to you before we got on, was $5.6 billion. It's really a drop in the bucket when we look at the size of the deficit we have this year, let alone moving forward. But there's got to be some better answers than consistently going after the top earners within Canada. There's got to be another solution that would make a little bit more sense.
And I think there's certain groups out there, certain think tanks, that are coming up with different ideas. I just hope that our government and the critics within each party literally take a hard look at those ideas. Let's come to the table and get a solution. I think that's the biggest one. And that's where it comes out to the bigger piece. So today on our show, Andrew, we are going to find out what's happening in the global financial world. We've got our reoccurring guest coming in. He is a chief investment officer, and he has been talking about some of the biggest concerns we have to worry about. We talk to him on a regular basis outside of the show. He's got some great pieces. Is the economy dictating the stock market, or is the stock market getting way ahead of itself? We're going to find out after the break. But before you go, don't forget, we have got our webinar.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to talk about how do you bulletproof your retirement? How do you make sure with all the stuff that's going on, you still have income for the rest of your life? We're going to discuss that on Tuesday, July 21st, 7 p.m., live online. You need to register. So go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com to register. Okay, join us after the break. We're going to be talking about, is the economy not fast enough for this stock market, or will the stock market catch up to the economy, which means a crash? We'll find out after the break. You're listening to 770 CHQR and More Than Money.